Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, as normally happens when I think I've got a fortnight before my exhortation is due, I procrastinate and sort of leave things till the last minute. And then on Wednesday, I think Jamie said, I'm not going to be there on Sunday. Could you do my exhort for me? So, a couple of days, that's good. So I procrastinated a bit more. And last night I finally sat down and wrote it. But I'll give you a bit of background to where this exhortation comes from. It's, I've been fascinated in the scripture about some of the smaller words in scripture and the deeper meaning or how relevant they are. Words like in and is and do and all, which is the word that I'm going to focus on in my exhort today. Now, being sort of thinking, I'm trying to think of something smart to say at the beginning of the exhort, I was casting about for what exhort actually means, and it actually means to encourage to try harder. And I thought, well, that's an amazing exhort, try harder, end of exhort. So didn't quite cut it, but I sort of thought to myself, crikey, that's actually me. So this is a little bit of an introspective exhortation. This is my walk, and I'm hoping that you may find some relevance in your walk with me. Now, I've had a bit of a struggle in recent times. We've been overwhelmed by various events that have happened in our life. But even stuff in the world has been sort of crowding in. We have so much in our news today about our LGBTQT or rainbow community, for want of a better term. We've had crime going through the roof like you wouldn't believe. How many shootings have there been in New Zealand in the last little while? And all these things sort of crowd in. And I was thinking, what's my reaction? How do I feel about these things? Now, personally, I know people in the so-called rainbow community. So what do I think of them? And I was going through that question in my mind and gradually worked out it's not the person that I should be concerned with, it's the action. The Lord wants me to still reach out to that person. I say, Jesus died for all of us. He died for them as well. He wasn't happy with where we were when we came to the Lord. Never mind those people that are in the rainbow community or are murderers. God still wants to reach them. So I had a bit of self-examination around that, and the thinking was, where am I missing the mark? Because I feel a sense of not getting there, or being slightly inadequate in my walk with the Lord. Now, we sort of have, I think, and I think it's a general fear that what happens if we miss the mark, and how do we know what mark we're actually aiming at? And how do we know when we're close to it? And I think the way we can address that is to, and I think we do this all the time, we measure ourselves against higher standards, standards of the word, standards of God, standards of our brothers and sisters around us. So we have our brothers and sisters in the ecclesia. We have our brothers and sisters in scripture, the likes of Peter, James, John, and Paul, who said he's the least of all the apostles. That was his view of where he was in his walk with the Lord. But the ultimate measuring stick, or the ultimate mark that we need to aim for, must be Jesus. So how do I know when I'm near the mark that's required of me? How do I even know that it's the right mark that I'm aiming for? No use running a mile race if in fact it's 100 metre. You know, you're going to miss it altogether. Now, Paul talked about attaining eternal life in Philippians 3:14. Now, I've got a few references here, and if anybody wants a list of them when I've finished, I will read them out so you don't have to turn to them. But Philippians 3:14 says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize." And the word here is the mark at the end of a measured line. So a goal, a prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Carries on in verse 15, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, think this way." And I'm going, crikey, who thinks they're perfect now? Certainly not me. But many times the thought is there, I want to get there. There's more in my spiritual work that I need to be doing, but what? So Philippians 3:15 continues. "If in anything you think otherwise, that we're not perfect," which I think applies probably to most of us, if not all of us, "God will also reveal that to you." Phew, hope creeps back in, because I do have a chance after all. There's an account in scripture where a person had the same thought when he asked Jesus in Mark 10:17. And one ran to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "Keep the commandments." Is this the Mosaic law he's talking about? And we'll find out a little bit more about that in a minute or two. The young man says, I've kept all these things from my youth up. So Jesus replied, "Sell what you have and give to the poor." Now I was looking for the word all in this, and it's not there. So it may not necessarily mean sell all that you have. Mainly, it may mean that you just sell what you are able to give. But there is elements of sacrifice in this. Whether we're talking about Mosaic law and the sacrifices of the law there, or in this case, in selling what you have. So our walk to reach that mark is going to involve an element of sacrifice. Now the term, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life," comes up again in Luke 10 verse 25 through 27. And a lawyer stood up this time and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And this is where it changes a little bit from that first reference. He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Now the question to Jesus was the same, but somehow the law changed. What's happening here? And this is something I'll probably need to look at a lot more, and I won't go into it a lot now, but the first instance was talking about the Mosaic law. The second instance was the new law, the new covenant. So they are so closely linked. Jesus could actually use both in an answer to that question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He combines the two in the reference in Matthew 22:35-40. Once again, a lawyer jumps in and says, "What's the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Second, likewise, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." So here we have Mosaic and the new law in one. But the emphasis here is on commandments. They're not something that we can take or leave or do when we want to and not do when we don't. They are commandments. We need to do them. I need to do them. Now, Numbers 15, verses 37 through 41. Yahweh spoke to Moses and said, "Speak to the children of Israel and tell them that they should make themselves fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generations." And it goes on, "that you may look on it and remember all of Yahweh's commandments." So we're given commandments. We need to have some means of remembering them all. Israel was given this memory aid in the fringes on their prayer shawls. It's something that we need to have in our own form or prayer shawl for remembrance to do those commandments. Moses exhorts Israel in Deuteronomy 4:26 through 4:29 to go into the land that Yahweh will scatter the nations from before them, but Israel would be absorbed into those nations where they would serve gods and turn away from God. But from that position, Moses says, "You will seek Yahweh your God, and you shall find him when you search after him with all your heart and all your soul." So having the commandments, remembering them or trying to remember them, and then forgetting them, as Israel did, engenders a search for Yahweh. And Yahweh returns or assists us in that search. In Deuteronomy 5:29, he says, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and their children forever. So the all becomes something to do with the heart, something we desire strongly to do, and the result of that is Yahweh giving us a state of wellness forever. I don't think it's going to happen on this earth, but I think that wellness forever is that kingdom which is to come. It's a light at the end of the tunnel. Carrying on with this theme of the word all, Deuteronomy 6:4-6 says here, "Israel, Yahweh is our God, Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. These things which I command you," there's that word again, "shall be on your heart." Love Yahweh. We're commanded to love Yahweh. "These words which I command you today," Deuteronomy says, "shall be on your heart." That's a strange word. Shall be. Do we have a choice? It comes that automatically with loving Yahweh, that Yahweh will write those commandments on our heart. It's not something that we have to strive exceptionally hard to do. It comes so naturally once that love for Yahweh is there. So apart from love, Deuteronomy 10:12-13 says, "Now Israel, what does Yahweh your God require of you but to fear Yahweh your God, to walk in his way, all his ways, and to love him, and to serve Yahweh," here's the term again, "with all your heart and all your soul, to keep Yahweh's commandments, which I command you today for your good." We have a sequence here of fear, fearing Yahweh, a healthy respect, to walk, that walk which he has chosen for us, to love him, to serve him. And the result? Good. He means us good. In Israel's case, in this account, it looks as though it means material abundance. But in Deuteronomy 11, just one chapter further on, verses 13 through 15, it says that if you listen diligently to my commandments, which I command you today to love and serve, that he will give in abundance the former rain, the latter rain, grain, wine, and oil, grass in your fields for your livestock, and you shall eat and be full. The word full here equals complete satisfaction. So I'm picking that likely includes a spiritual sense of well-being, of being provided for, as well as full tummies. Our love for God is challenged in a number of ways. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 4, and you'll notice these are in order of scriptural as we get to them in scripture. So you can see where this exhortation's been built from. That Deuteronomy 13 says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign of wonder, and it comes to pass, and he spoke, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. Don't listen to that person. You are to walk after Yahweh your God. Fear him. Keep his commandments. Obey his voice and serve him. So this list of things that we need to do to actually have a correct walk with Christ and toward our God. This reference talks about faithful obedience, not listening to those who would sway us away from Yahweh our God, even if those people are from the brotherhood of Christ. And why do I say that? Because sometimes Yahweh uses even them to test us, to know whether we love him with all our heart and all our soul. He wants to know the depth of our love, the depth of our commitment. How do we do that? Deuteronomy 26 says, Yahweh your God commands you to do these statutes and ordinances. That's the test. You shall therefore keep them and do them with all your heart and all your soul. And we will do that willingly because we love God. Moses, before the people went into the land in Deuteronomy, spoke to them, and it's quite a large discourse. But the upshot of it is that Moses exhorted them to serve, to return to Yahweh your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you with all your heart and all your soul. Then Yahweh your God will release you from captivity, have compassion on you, and will return from all the peoples where Yahweh your God has scattered you, foretelling the dispersion and all the many dispersions of Israel at that time. So here we have a positive result for us from obeying the commandments, from fearing, walking, loving, obeying our God. And that's in deliverance. The word says God will release you from captivity. Brothers and sisters, that's us. That's sin that we are going to be released from. Moses many times talks about if you turn to Yahweh, your God, with all your heart and all your soul. He exhorts the people to love Yahweh, to walk that walk which Yahweh has chosen, to keep the commandments. So many times he repeats it. Joshua and the people going into the land repeats the words of Moses, that we are to again love, walk, and keep the commandments of God. The result of that for Israel was to be established in the land. So there are material benefits to having a walk that's steadfast, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. When the people of Israel sought a king, Samuel went to them and said, "What is this you have done? You've turned away from Yahweh your God and seeking a king." And the people were immediately contrite and humbled themselves and asked Samuel to pray for them that they do not die. And Samuel said to the people, "Don't be afraid. You have indeed done all this evil, yet don't turn aside from following Yahweh, but serve him with all your heart." The reasoning being here that Israel's heart had turned away from God and they needed to be brought back into that close focus of Yahweh is all in all. So Israel sought for a king. Solomon, when he was being blessed by David, was told that if you walk before me in truth with all their heart and all your soul, there shall not fail you a man on the throne of Israel. That was relevant to Solomon back then, but it's so relevant to us today. We are promised a throne that will never fail. It's conditional though. We have to do those commandments that God tells us. The reason God finds it so attractive in us, I suppose is the word to use, is that when we reach the state of having God in all our lives, our soul, our heart, our strength, then we can truly praise him for his goodness to us, for keeping covenant, scripture says, with those who walk before him with all their heart. And he reiterates, "There shall not fail from you a man in my sight to sit on the throne forever." Such is the promise of Christ. Back to Philippians 3:15, "Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, think this way. And if you think otherwise, God will also reveal that to you." So how does God reveal that to you? Now, at times I thought maybe a flash of inspiration. A light, a eureka moment, maybe a quiet word. How do we know? So we look to some examples. Josiah found out through the finding of a book in the temple when the temple was being cleansed. And he knew immediately that the heart of the people had been away from God for so long that they needed to do something incredibly drastic in the nation to bring them back. So he called a fast And the people tore their clothes and they lay in sackcloth and ashes and humbled themselves before God like no other time in history. Josiah kept that Passover above all kings that were before him, scripture says, because he turned with all his heart. That's us, got to be our position. We do have to turn with all our hearts. So big fingers, little print doesn't work. So Josiah acknowledged God. He in turn was acknowledged for his total dedication to Yahweh. He sought for God with all his heart, with fasting, weeping, and in sackcloth. He totally humbled himself. So many times, scripture says, search for God with all your heart. Turn to me, Joel says, with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. And that's the term that we need to think of, all of us. Our whole being has to be involved in this work, in this walk. It's not something that we can attend to on days like today or when we feel like it. Probably when we least feel like it, and this is where I'm coming from, is when we most need to be aware of putting our all into it. And that's when, like Josiah, we can be recognized for the humility and knowing that I'm not good enough, I'm not meeting the mark. So I find the answer of how do I know the mark, how do I know where I'm close to it, and I find that the answer I have had all this time, the Word of God was written for me. And I hear it in the voice of the Word of God in our readings and by brothers and sisters talking to me. Brothers and sisters, our citizenship is in heaven at this end of this reference of Philippians 3, from where we also wait for a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change the body of our humiliation to be conformed to the body of his glory, according to the working by which he is able even to subject all things to himself. Amen. Even come, Lord Jesus.